Chapter 16, The Spirit's Power. Then Jesus said, "To begin with, salvation was a miracle of the heart. There are so many things that blinded the natural man from seeing his need for salvation. There was a huge wall that no man could ever climb, which separated him from having a relationship with God, his Creator. There were many huge stones in that wall that caused the separation between God and man. But let's consider one for now, the human heart. The human heart was deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who could understand it? It was desperately wicked, and every inclination of it was evil from childhood. It was not always that way. In the garden it was not evil or hard, but it was tender, loving, and good. But Adam's sin pulled the heart down to lowly places, to the grave and death. As the child grows into a man, oftentimes the heart grows harder and harder, until it becomes like stone. This is indeed a mystery that we will discuss later. Jonathan, you could not come to me because of the wall you built around your heart, and that wall had to be removed so a new heart could be given. My spirit gently toiled and labored and penetrated the strongholds of your heart on that special day. The heart that was there was sick with death and beyond cure. So we gave you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. We removed your heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh, one that would grow to be tender, loving, good, and upright. When you heard the words, 'There is no one righteous, no, not even one,' my spirit broke to your heart and you knew it was true. You knew with certainty that you had fallen short of all my glory and commands. I wanted you to know how much you sinned and turned away from me, and the loving kindness of your heavenly Father. I wanted you to know that you lived a life that did not satisfy me or my Father. As you now know, I did this to draw you to me, not to drive you away. I wanted you to see the depths of your sin, so that you would see that I was your greatest need. For I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with cords of loving kindness. My intention was always to draw you to my side and make you my child, and to be my beloved friend. I made known to you the path of life, and I opened the gate so that you could enter into my Father's fold, into a relationship that can never perish, spoil, or fade. My heart's desire was that you would understand the relationship I wanted to have with you. Remember my words, 'I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you.' Then the Lord looked into Jonathan's eyes and said, 'You were and always will be my child and friend. Please continue on with your testimony. I will listen and shine the light on the hidden things that you never knew took place on that day.' Jonathan said with a smile and a look of hope, 'Lord, it would be much more interesting and exciting if you just finished my story.' Jesus smiled and said, 'Continue on, Jonathan.' Jonathan continued his story with great joy, not with fear or anxiety or possibly saying the wrong thing. He was confident that the Lord would be pleased with his testimony and that the Lord's love would fill his heart. He was also waiting with great expectation for him to reveal the mysteries regarding his salvation. Jonathan said, 'At that point, the minister asked if I would like some good news, news that would bring great joy to my heart, soul, and mind. I said, yes, I want good news. Please, tell me anything that can fix the situation that I am in now. I didn't know at that moment that the words the minister was about to say would change my life forever. The man I was would slowly disappear, and I would begin a new life and a wonderful journey into the kingdom of God. So, here's what the minister said. I have good news for you, but it is more than that. It is great news. God has intervened on your behalf and made a way out of your predicament. This great news has been proclaimed to the whole world. Let me begin by saying your sin problem began even before you were born. It started at the beginning of creation. Remember the story in the Bible about Adam and Eve and how they were deceived by the serpent? The Lord said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you mustn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." As you know, they did eat from that tree. Then they were removed from the garden, and eventually they died. The minister then turned to another passage, and he read it to me, saying, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death came through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all have sinned." You see, Jonathan, we are all from the same mold, and we all have the same imprint of Adam stamped upon our lives. All mankind has walked in his footsteps of disobedience to God's commands. And if we continue to walk in that path, the hands of death will certainly grab a hold of us and bring us to a place we don't want to go. The minister said with great passion, "Now, the good news. God has provided a solution for the sinner's problem, which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect remedy for our sin because he is fully God and fully man. He is the perfect solution to our problem, for he can hold God's hand and man's hand at the same time. This is a profound mystery, but it is declared throughout the scriptures. Let's turn to a few passages that will explain what I'm saying in greater detail." The minister turned to the scriptures that day, and I hung on every word that he said. At this point, Jesus spoke up and said, "Let me show you the scriptures that you turned to that day." Even as he began to speak, they hung on his every word. Their hearts burned in them as he opened up the scriptures to them. "Jonathan, on the day of your salvation, it was I who moved in you by my spirit, and I breathed life into you. I made the soil of your heart tender, so that my words, which the minister used, would go out and not return to me empty, but that they would accomplish everything I desired and achieve the purpose for which I sent them. I made known to you on that day that my origins were of old, from ancient times, and I wanted you to know the glory that I had before the creation of the world, because the Father loves me. I declare to you that I was the one who created everything, the things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, all powers, rulers, authorities, and thrones were created by me and for me. I was before all these things, and in me all these things are held together. I am the head of the church. I am the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything I will have supremacy. My intention was to save you, Jonathan, and to save you completely. I proclaim to your heart that I was your perfect salvation, your perfect redeemer, who was fully God and fully man. As the scriptures say, the virgin will have a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And his name will be Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I then brought you to the foot of my cross, where mercy and justice meet. I am the sinless Holy One, and I took the sins of the world upon myself. Jesus looked into Jonathan's eyes and said, I showed you my righteousness and my redemption at just the right time. When you were still powerless, I died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might probably dare to die. But I demonstrated my own love for you in this. While you were still a sinner, I died for you, to bring you to God. I showed you the very depths of my love, for I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today I still bear the marks of judgment, and the empty grave testifies to my victory over sin. Today you are all wearing white robes, which declare my perfect righteousness and eternal salvation. I use tender words to draw and call all of you. Now, share with each other the words that made the biggest impact upon your lives. Upon saying this, Jesus left Jonathan, Cornelius, and the others. As they considered his words, Elizabeth spoke first and said, I was lonely and afflicted, and I lacked the love that my heart truly desired. I remember the day the Lord drew me with his unfailing love. These are the words I heard. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. I was weary and burdened, for I desired love. I was in constant turmoil, and my soul was downcast, and I desired rest. I wanted to come to the Lord and find the rest he promised, but I was afraid of rejection. I felt that this promise was for others, for those that were worthy. I was worried that if my own husband did not love me the way he should, how then could God ever love me? At that time, I was beginning to read the scriptures, and I came upon a verse that gave me real hope. This verse spoke to my heart suddenly. I had confidence that I would receive all the love that God promised me. Elizabeth turned to them all and proclaimed the verse of her salvation. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Suddenly, the Spirit rose upon Elizabeth, who proclaimed, The Lord is my strength, my Redeemer, and my faithful husband, the keeper of my soul. My soul delights in the Lord. He is my shield, my high tower, and my shelter from the storm. He looked down on my lowly position, lifted me from the ash heap, and put my feet on solid ground. He gave me a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I have become like an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Elizabeth concluded with great joy and praise by saying, For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Everyone joined in sharing their own testimonies, and when they had finished, Cornelius closed the conversation with these words. Consider this, my brothers and sisters. We are able to share our testimonies with each other, but we are also able to share our lives with each other, to love each other from the heart. We will be able to tell others how God delivered us when we were crushed in spirit, and how he ministered to us when our lives were ebbing away. We will hear stories after stories from our brethren who lived throughout the ages. We will hear stories about great revivals and days of great persecution. We will hear stories of heroes of the faith and martyrs. And we will be able to see how God has always rescued his people from the hands of his enemies. We have all of eternity to hear about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. We will hear how through faith they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, and believed in God's promises. Many, as you know, were protected from lions, fires, and sword. How many stories will we hear of people who turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles and routed foreign armies? We will hear of how many women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who we don't know, who when under torture refused to give in and be free, preferring something better in the resurrection of the dead. Many of our brothers and sisters will tell us how they braved abuse and whips, chains and dungeons. We hear stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. Yet the world didn't deserve them. I now realize that we have all the time and eternity to meet the brethren, and we know that it will be in God's perfect timing when these meetings will take place. But we also know that the Lord will speak into the testimonies of these people, for he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, for light dwells with him. As they considered these things, they knew that their God, not man, would receive all the glory due his name. After their discussions, many others joined Jonathan, Cornelius, and their families to get ready for the banquet. On all the decks, they began to lay out beautiful blue rugs that had a gold leaf pattern for their borders. Next came the couches, tables, and chairs, which were arranged in perfect position so that intimate fellowship could take place by everyone who attended. After this, the decorations came, various colored drapes blew in the wind as they hung on weaved golden ropes that were attached to bronze posts on the corners of each deck. Next, the flowers and plants came, and they were placed in perfect positions to dress the remaining areas. Finally, the food and drinks came. A royal feast was laid out for the King of Kings. Jonathan and his family left before the banquet began, but as they were leaving, they saw many familiar faces, most of them from Cornelius's generation. Many of the original deacons mentioned in the book of Acts attended, as well as a jailer from the old world with his family and friends. Many of the early disciples were there, from Barnabas, the great encourager, to Timothy, and his mother Eunice, and his grandmother Lois. Jonathan and his family took the long way home, and they had a wonderful discussion along the way. It was a great day, and they knew that many, many more would follow.